This is the International Education Marketing Podcast, a roundup of news stories and how they might impact marketing and recruiting for the international education sector.
Welcome to the International Education Marketing Podcast. I'm your moderator, Daniel Chatham. Today, our guests are
Cassidy Velaz,
Evelyn Tijero,
and Caitlin Pimentel.
Thank you all for being here. I'm really looking forward to hearing about some of the issues out in the world that are going to affect international education today. Cassidy, why don't you start us off?
All right. Sounds good. Thank you so much for having us on the podcast today. For the article that I found, the title is UK Universities Paying Millions in Agent Fees to Secure International Students. And the general gist of the article is it's discussing how educational agents are earning record commissions for sourcing international students in the UK right now, with one institution alone spending almost 28 million pounds, close to 35 million USD. And it goes on to talk about how the incentives of agents and how universities are paying generous referral fees, like $2,000 to $10,000 per student. But the reliance on agents has fueled the concerns about unethical practices, including reports of agents directly making students or like incentivizing students to go towards certain courses due to their own incentives and luring some students with offers like, we'll get you a laptop or a phone. And there's also some concern with rogue agents, such as when some gave students fake bank statements to pass visa regulations. Overall, the article really wraps up with how there isn't currently any formal regulation of education agents operating in the UK, but many people in the education sphere are calling for the Office of Students to maintain a register of agents and publish performance data to keep things ethical.
Well, this is certainly a hot button issue, and a lot of people have a lot of strong opinions on both sides of this conversation about whether or not agents can be used ethically, whether they should be used, and how, of course, they help expand the diversity and the pipeline and the enrollment of programs. So you've got vehement for and against opinions on this. On the other side of our conversations, and after we hear about these other two, I'll also share a story about how I was a non-agent overseas and then became an agent very selectively. So looking forward to unpacking that. Evelyn, how about your article?
I read the article, New Jersey Launches Free Online Tool to Connect College Students Facing Basic Needs, Insecurity to Resources, and it was written by Armand Kya from the Diverse website of Issues in Higher Education. And just as the name states, the article talks about the development of a new resource that can be used to look up information for housing, transportation, childcare, and state assistant processes to college students. It was created by the New Jersey Office of Secretary of Higher Education in an effort to address basic need insecurity among students. And after reading the article that also included the governor's perspective, I have to agree, it's important to recognize prospective and continuing students' backgrounds to help ensure their post-secondary success. I think us, as we're developing a perspective of marketing and recruitment, we should be able to recognize what students or our customers will need in order to be successful.
Yeah, another really critical article here. There's a lot of work going on in California about food security for community colleges and community college students. And it's really quite surprising how many students truly are food insecure among other needs that are probably mentioned in your article. So yeah, that's an important area for us to talk about too. I'm curious to see how this unfolds for you as a marketing need and what a specific kind of response might be. Caitlin?
Yeah, hi, so happy to be here. I read an article that actually fell right in line with Cassidy's. It was called Black Friday Pressure Sales Tactics in the Sector, which is so on theme. It was from Pi News, and it really talked about exactly what Cassidy was saying. Agents getting absolutely absurd amounts of commission per student. and also creating these very capitalist sales tactics, bonuses, limited time offers for students and their families to make quick deposits to universities, several universities at a time, and then pulling out or getting their refund right before enrollment closes, which makes it really challenging for universities to be able to project those numbers and use their funnel effectively. And also, it's just really unfair to families and students that maybe aren't getting those refunds, or students that aren't getting accepted to universities because the university is believed to have already filled all their spots. So it can lead to a lot of issues for both applicants and the university. And I think it's a really interesting gray area between, you know, the competitive side of higher education and the side of higher education where we're really just trying to find people that are a good fit for our institutions. And how do we draw that line and make those decisions?
Yeah, I think you're right on. And that's good framing for the conversation about the focus of marketers for higher education are really trying to help people find and identify and find the right fit institutions and programs for them to meet their goals, whatever they are. So let's unpack these articles. First of all, what common themes might you see or contradictions do you see here?
I would have to say, Caitlin, I love how ours completely coincided. But on sort of the opposite side of the spectrum, I think Evelyn's article is really talking about assisting students in a very ethical way versus me and Caitlin are a little bit more on the money side of recruiting students, which is very interesting.
Yeah, I have to agree with you as well, Cassidy, in the sense of tying them all in together, the three articles. Mine kind of brings that more perspective of how can we see these students as students themselves, even us as like recruiters and as we're learning more about marketing and recruitment. It's more so of, yes, we're bringing these students into our universities, but let's also see them as students themselves and not just another number or an enrollment fee that's going to go to the university as a whole.
I'll share with you a little bit of a story. When I lived in Turkey, I established a consultancy called American Advisors. And during the years that I lived there, we were consistently approached by American universities and educational programs and asked if we would become agents for them. We consistently said no. Our focus in the consultancy was to work with individual students to help them develop clarity around their goals and identify and apply to the best fit institutions. So we worked for the students to coach and guide them. Any school, anywhere, any subject, any degree level, from even non-degree ESL to PhDs. But it was really about what did they want. And after a few years of telling schools no, schools that would come and visit and do recruiting in the city that we were in, we eventually said yes to a couple of them. And it was because we realized that there were students who did not need the same level of career coaching and did not need the same level of assistance to go achieve their goals. Their goals were not necessarily to become a professor of services marketing or to go into a super high-tech area that there is only one single pathway to. And it was those that we couldn't serve with our business model that we realized there was an opportunity to serve. And this was the only clear avenue for us. So we ended up representing a few institutions. They were never fee-based. It was always commission-based. It was always a percent of revenue. And they ranged from 10% to 25% of what the student spent. Just think about that for a second. If a school is willing to pay 10% of tuition up to 25%, and then think about the basic needs that their other students have, and you start to think about the choices of allocating resources to diversify, but ignore or underfund other needs of other students. And that's where we start to get into some really deep philosophical questions and potential conflicts.
Gosh, yeah, just hopping in and going off of that, that's so fascinating. And in the article that I read, it sort of mentioned that specifically my article was talking about the UK and how it had like an extreme influx of international students since 2019. And that's the reason why they're putting in so much money to these agents as a way to help the students. But there's also the statistic that now international students, for many of them, many of the colleges and universities over there are ranked like their fifth most profitable method for the university to make money. And I just think then it becomes, are you really trying to support the student, or is it more of the money-making aspect of it all?
That is super interesting. So I come from a business background. I got a bachelor's in entrepreneurship, and I went through a lot of the classes that talks about, you know, if there is no profit, there is no business, there is no university. And so I understand the thought process behind trying to diversify the student population to international students that are able to pay that full tuition and get into new markets. And I understand why agents are such a valuable part of that job. Some of these markets are totally impenetrable without somebody on the inside. And that is the fact of the case. But where I think the line needs to be drawn is somewhere along the lines of commission, because that is going to, no matter what, create this incentive, whether it's really hitting people or not. I mean, agents will have the opportunity and have the understanding of, if I get this person to put down their deposit, I'm going to make $700. And that is just something that is really difficult to ignore as a human being. So I, at this point, like, I'm not even upset with the agents that are taking advantage of this opportunity that they have, and more so upset at the idea that higher education is becoming such a competitive industry and it's being treated so much like a corporation rather than an institution to share knowledge. So, gray area, but frustrating overall.
Yeah. Well, keep in mind that the amount of commission that a school will pay is totally customizable. However, when an agent has a portfolio of programs they represent, the ones that often get represented most vigorously are the ones that pay the highest commissions. And the commission amounts are in many countries a substantial amount of money in local currency. So a $700 example that you gave could be a substantial amount of money in another country. It could be a month's wages, and it could come back every semester for a couple of years.
Yeah, I agree. And I think that's one reason why you totally can't blame the agents for this, because they're taking advantage of an economic opportunity. And especially if they need it, like, you can't blame them for that. But I do think that it is one way to keep institutions with a lot of money staying with a lot of money and having advantages over other institutions that are maybe even offering higher quality education or instruction.
Evelyn, I wanted to ask about your article on basic needs and filling those needs, and open this up to everybody as well. From a marketing standpoint, why is this a good idea? We already acknowledge that it's a good idea for the institute. It's moral, it's ethical to focus on meeting students' basic needs. But through the marketing lens, what do you think for everybody?
Through the marketing lens, I would have to say that, you know, since we do agree that it's on a good point for this idea to kind of further develop, and we're seeing it done through New Jersey and their Office of Higher Education, I would say that it not only brings this kind of like humanitarian perspective of like considering the student as like a person themselves, but also it's a great opportunity for universities to also adapt into this type of navigation tool on their own or for their own. In the sense of considering that from a marketing standpoint, having this navigation tool would really benefit universities, not only their students, but also themselves, because it kind of paints this image of the university as them also being more, I want to say, attractive. Not only are they caring about who the student is as a whole, but also what they're offering. And I'm thinking about it from a marketing lens, you kind of want to find those details about the universities that you represent, and kind of also tell that to your customer or tell that to prospective students so they make that decision, since we have also mentioned how higher education has become so competitive. We're looking for those little navigation tools or those different programs that universities might offer. to make it stand out, to make students also want to consider attending your university. And of course, after enrollment, we want to make sure they're also in retainment.
I think it would be a shame if universities didn't offer something to meet the needs of their students. I think it would be silly of the marketing team not to address, because people know, whether through the news or talking to their colleagues, that students right now are struggling in some ways. There are students experiencing houselessness. There are students that are struggling to pay for their food. There are students that can barely afford textbooks. And the cost of education is only getting higher and higher. So for institutions not to address those kinds of problems, I think would actually put them at a disadvantage. And I think it would be really important for marketing teams within institutions to make sure to point this out about their university, that they offer solutions for these problems for students, because they exist and people know they exist.
Absolutely. I just want to hop in. I love the points. Throughout my entire undergrad, like, I was on financial aid. It's really rough. And I remember in one class, I found out through, it was a communications class where someone was spitting facts about financial aid and how at my institution, I was one of 2% of students that was on financial aid. And so that was really rough to hear. And I just think, like, if I saw some of these universities hosting benefits the way that Evelyn's article discusses, like, that would have been a huge attraction to me as a student. And not only that, I really do believe from the marketing perspective, it lowers the, like, requirement to entry, the bridge to entry into university, which I think is a very attractive thing to market.
Makes sense. And I agree with Evelyn's, I think maybe the way to come to a close on this is with Evelyn's point about retention. The way to meet our students' needs is to know what their needs are. And when you know what your market needs are and wants are, and you set about to try to fill those as a program designer, as an administrator, as a marketer, and you manage to connect with people to show them how you've met their needs and to try to better understand them and turn that into action, then you're actually fulfilling the promise of higher education generally, and more specifically, the marketing function, where we're trying to understand the needs of our market, set about to fill them, and to make sure that they know about that. So I think it makes lots of sense and is part of a broader, more holistic sense of student support. When maybe in another episode, we might unpack the needs of working professionals and part-time students as compared to full-time students, because we might be able to get into another layer of nuance with this that creates some interesting places for debate. But I'm afraid that'll have to wait to another episode. Thank you all for being here today and for participating and contributing to this episode.
Thank you so much for having us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
If you'd like more information about the International Education Management Program at the Middlebury Institute, visit go.miss.edu/IEM. That's go.miis.edu/IEM.